You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Beginning of Guidance by Mufti Hussein Gamani. To find out more information on Mufti Hussein's Qalam course entitled The Prophetic Code, a study of prophetic manners and etiquette, visit qalaminstitute.org/prophetic code.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء. أما بعد، آداب الصيام, the etiquette of fasting.
The etiquette of fasting. You should not confine yourself to fasting only in Ramadan, thereby neglecting the spiritual commerce of voluntary acts, as well as the acquisition of high degrees in upper levels of paradise.
So here, the Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi starts off this chapter by saying that do not suffice only with fasting in Ramadan. Because fasting in the month of Ramadan is mandatory, and that's the bare minimum every person must do. It's not that you should do it, every person must fast in the month of Ramadan. But along with the fara'id, along with the obligatory acts, now we need to add those things that are voluntary. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in the hadith that the first thing that brings you, or the thing that brings you most close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are your fara'id, your obligations, because they hold such high value. But then after you fulfill the obligations, now to continue that journey to get closer to Allah, you need to engage in the nawafil. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أَحْبَبْتُهُ. The Prophet says that Allah Azza wa Jalla says that you continue the journey of love to Allah by your voluntary acts, and you keep doing your voluntary acts, you keep doing the voluntary acts, until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى أَحْبَبْتُهُ, that I will love that servant. So, the journey of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the journey to loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very easy. But yet there are certain things that need to be done along that pathway. And as we mentioned here earlier, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he makes reference to this business example. He says that in order for a business to be successful, actually, in order for a business to even be existent, you have to have capital. If there is no capital, you have no business. You can talk about all the ideas you want to. You can walk around with these beautiful folders with colorful pages in them and show people that you have a business plan. But until you have capital, you have no business. When you have capital, you're in business. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, when you have your fara'id, you're in business. But now, simply being in business isn't enough. If you have a business and it's not bringing profits out, then you have a problem. You have to evaluate the business again, strategize again, plan again, then ask yourself, how can I make this into a profitable business? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he says here, what you need to do first is make sure you have the capital down. Fulfill your obligations. After that, we need profit. And the profit comes through the voluntary acts. It comes through the voluntary acts. So imagine the journey is from A to Z. Your voluntary acts, your obligatory acts will take you through that journey, but at a point now, in order to complete the journey, you need to continue on with your voluntary acts. So here Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he's highlighting that and says, don't suffice only with the fasting of Ramadan, because many people, they just do it in the month of Ramadan, and the next time they fast is the next Ramadan. And next time they fast is the next Ramadan. And people who only fast in the month of Ramadan, sometimes it can be out of this attitude of laziness, that I'm only doing this because I have to do it. If I don't have to do it, I won't do it. In our relationship, in terms of how we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not because we have to do it, it's because we want to do it. And when you want to do ibadah, that brings a different flavor of the ibadah altogether. Spiritually, it elevates you a lot quicker. Yes?
You will feel regret on looking up towards the ones who had fasted, fasted extra fast, just as you look up toward brilliant stars, as they would then be in the highest of the high heavens.
Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, if you don't fast the voluntary fast, on the day of judgment, you will see those who did fast the voluntary fast, they will be so high and so far ahead, just as you look at the stars. Now, how far is a star that you can see from the world? Any star that you can see, whether it's the sun or any star, how far is it from the world? Is it a stone throw away? Absolutely not. You know, the light that you see from the stars today, when you go out of this masjid, that light left that star a long time ago. It's not real time, by the way. You guys understand that, right? The light that you're seeing in the stars when you stand outside, it's not real time light. That light, in order to get to us, it left a long time ago. And some of that light may have even left before we even came in, not before, definitely before we even came into existence. Okay? So it's so far ahead. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, the people who do the nawafil fast, those voluntary fasts, that's how far they accelerate. That's how far your nawafil take you, and those who stick with the faraid, we're going to be on the ground here. So there he's suggesting us that make sure you engage in the nawafil fast so you don't regret it by seeing other people being way ahead of you. Yes?
The meritorious days that are mentioned in the traditions because of their special honor and the greatness of the reward received for fasting them are the day of Arafah.
Now here Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi is walking us through the different days that have been mentioned in the hadith at some point or the other that are recommended to fast on. They're not mandatory, they are recommended. The first one Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says here is Yawm Arafata, the day of Arafah. The day of Arafat is which day? The 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. Okay, the second day. The day of Ashura. What is Ashura? Which day is that? The 10th of Muharram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says regarding the day of Ashura, the one who fasts on this day, his previous sins, his sins of the previous year are forgiven. Just one day, look at this, okay? Remember, the voluntary fasts hold a lot of value as well. Just one day of fasting on this day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, it expiates the sins of the previous year. The third one he mentions is, وَالْعَشُرُ الْأُوَلُ مِنْ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ, the first 10 days of the month of ذِي الْحِجَّةِ, the days that build up to Eid. The days that build up to Eid, those days fasting also hold a great virtue. Then after that he mentions, وَالْعَشُرُ الْأُوَلُ مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمِ, the first 10 days of Muharram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding the month of Muharram, أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ رَمْضَانِ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ, the most virtuous fast after the month of Ramadan are the fasting of the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the month of Allah is which month? Muharram is a month of Allah. Then after that, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, Rajab and Sha'ban. Rajab and Sha'ban are the two months that precede which month? Ramadan. Okay? And the Sahaba, they mentioned that when these two months came nearby, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's fasting in general just picked up. He started fasting a lot more. And then he would start reading the dua, Allahumma barikna fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban and allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. So increasing your fasting in these months. Yes?
It is also meritorious to fast the sacred months.
The sacred months are the Ashhurul Hurum. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, Arba'atun Hurum, that Allah Azza wa Jal says in the year there are 12 months. Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allahi 12 shahran fi kitabillah. That there are 12 months in the year. Arba'atun hurum. Out of them, 4 are sacred months. These 4 sacred months existed even before Islam. Amongst Arabs, they knew there were 4 months that were sacred. 3 of the months come one after the other, and the 4th one comes later on in the year. What are the 4 months?
Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab.
Now the first 3, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, and Muharram, they come one after the other. But however, Rajab, it comes later on in the year. So these years, these months are very important. Which month of the year is Dhul-Qa'dah? Anyone know? What number? 11th. Dhul-Hijjah is which month? 12th. Muharram is which month? 1st. And Rajab is a month, there's Ramadan, before that is Sha'ban, and right before Sha'ban is Rajab. So these months are the months that are considered as the sacred months. Yes.
With regard to each month, it is meritorious to fast the beginning, middle, and end of it, as well as the white days.
So there are narrations that suggest to fast the first day of the month, the last day of the month, and the middle of the month. Why is that? The scholars say the reason is because these days, split out throughout the month, will serve as expiation for any mistakes that were made through the month. Along with that, it is also known the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast on the white days. Anyone know what the white days are? The white days are those days in which the moon is complete. The white days are those in which the moon is complete. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do special ibadah during that day, during those days. And those white days are the 13th, 14th, and 15th of the month. By the way, when you say month, we're talking about the lunar month, not the solar month. So you have to keep track of the birth of the moon. Yes.
As for the week, the days of merit.
So now Imam Ghazali is going to break down which days in the week are now virtuous. So we talked about the month, which days in the month, the beginning, middle, and end. The 3 white days, every single month, these days should be fasted. Now Imam Ghazali says, in terms of every week, which days should be fasted? Now he gives those days as well.
The days of merit are Monday, Thursday, and Friday. So expiate for the sins of the rest of the week by fasting these days.
It was known the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast on Monday and Thursday. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he normally fasted on Monday and Thursday. And when asked why, at one point the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the reason why I fast on Monday is because this was the day I was born in. And another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are the days in which the deeds are taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when my deeds are taken to Allah, I wish to be in the state of fasting. You know, waiting for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as far as the Friday goes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that it is permissible to fast on Friday as long as you add a day before it or a day after it. To fast Friday itself was something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked. To add a day before or after, then it is permissible to fast on that day too. And it's a good thing, as we read in the previous chapter in Jum'ah, because it's such a virtuous day. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, if you remember, we talked about this last class, he mentioned that you should save Friday just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other 6 days you want to go enjoy yourself, go do some other fun stuff, funky stuff, go play, you know, whatever, you can do that stuff. He says, give Friday only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I remember there was one masjid I went to. They had a very beautiful thing they used to do every week. Every week, Friday night, which was the night that precedes Friday, the night between Thursday and Friday, the community members would do i'tikaf in the masjid. There was no bayan, no lecture, no free food, nothing. Everyone just knew that on that Thursday to Friday night, they would come in the masjid, they would spend that night there, and then go to work the next morning from there. But that was their night of i'tikaf. And it shows you how much importance these people gave to Friday itself, that the night before the actual Jum'ah prayer, they're giving that to making i'tikaf so they can dedicate a night for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes?
Make up for the sins of the month by fasting the first day of the month, the middle day, and the last day, as well as the white days. And make up for the sins of the whole year by fasting all these days, as well as the aforementioned months. When you do fast, do not think that fasting is simply leaving off eating, drinking, and marital relations.
Now here Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi is taking us now to the spiritual dimensions of fasting. So we talked about when to fast throughout the year, you know, throughout the year, on the month level, on the weekly level. Now Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he's taking us way inside and has brought us to the heart of fasting. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he says to us that fasting is not staying away from eating, drinking, and sexual intimacy. That is the legal definition of fasting, to stay away from eating, drinking, and intimacy. If you violate either of any of these three, then legally you're not fasting. But beyond that, there is a deeper meaning to fasting. There has to be a deeper meaning to fasting. To all of our ibadah, to our salah, there has to be a deeper meaning than doing wudu, standing and praying. When reading the Quran, there has to be a deeper meaning than holding a book and reading it. You know, when giving zakat, as I mentioned last week to you guys, or 1 or 2 weeks earlier, there has to be a meaning beyond taking money from your hand and putting it inside a box, a metal box with a lock on it that says zakat on the outside. There has to be a spiritual meaning to all of this. And the spiritual meaning is actually what takes you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, that establish your prayer for my remembrance. But it's interesting because many of us establish prayer, but we miss out the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During the salah, you're thinking of everything other than that. You know, there was an incident where a person came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. He had insomnia. He couldn't sleep at night. So he came to Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and said, Shaykh, I can't sleep at night, do something for me. Now this is an interesting point. People come to scholars with their medical issues. Allah knows why, okay? It's like they go with their spiritual issues to doctors. Both things are no-no, you don't do that. You know, in Urdu they have a saying, they say, Neem Hakim Khatrai Jan, Neem Mullah Khatrai Iman. Which means that half a doctor, he's not going to keep the world busy, he's going to keep the graveyard busy. He's going to make sure those who are working in the burial system, their business is very lucrative. Right? Neem Hakim Khatrai Jan. Neem Mullah Khatrai Iman. Half a scholar, he's not going to take you to Jannah, he's going to send you the other direction. So don't go to half-baked scholars or half-baked doctors. Anyway, this person comes to Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and said, Shaykh, I have insomnia, I can't sleep at night time. What is your advice? So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi said to him, I have a very good advice for you. He said, what? He said, at night time, stand and make 2 rakah salah. Then after that, read so-and-so tasbih so many times. Then make another 2 rakah salah. Then so-and-so tasbih so many times. Make another 2 rakah salah. He said, I want you to repeat this cycle of 2 rakah salah in the tasbih so many times, at least 50 times, 50 cycles. He came back the next day and said, Shaykh, I slept very well last night. He said, how? What happened? He said, I didn't even finish one cycle. I was in sajda and I fell asleep. Right? And the scholars, they mentioned the reason is because when a person tries to worship, shaitan comes and tries to distract you from that worship. Okay? I remember once my teacher told me a similar story, Mana Bilal Sahib. He said that one day he went to the hospital to visit one of his congregants. One of the congregants was sick, so he noticed he wasn't there, so he asked the family members, where is he? I haven't seen him in the masjid for a few days. So they said that he's sick. So he went to the hospital to go to visit him. When he went there, he asked him, Bhai, kaise ho? Tabiyat kaise hai? Brother, how are you doing? Is everything okay? He said, Sheikh, everything is okay. Alhamdulillah, the medication's working. I'm getting a lot better. But there's a person next to me. He makes so much noise that I can't sleep at night time. So the Sheikh said, Chalo humse baat karke aate. We'll go talk to him as well. So he went to the next little cubicle they had there. And there was a white man there. He was lying there and he was just, you know, moaning and making noise. So he went to the guy and said, Brother, why are you making so much noise? The guy next door, he's in pain. He can't sleep because of you. He said, Well, I don't care. I try to sleep at night time, but I can't. So our Sheikh said to him, I'll tell you something to do. If you do this every night, you'll go to sleep. He said, What is it? He said, Before you go to sleep, say Allah, that word, 1,000 times. He said, Okay, go. So then he came back after 2 days later to visit that congregant of his again. When he went back to the hospital, he asked that brother, Kaise ho, sab theek hai? He goes, Hazrat, aapke aane ke baad to neend hi neend hai. That Sheikh, after you've left, after you came last time, I've just been sleeping beauty since then. I've been enjoying myself. So he said, Let's go visit that guy again. So they went next door to visit that guy in the next cubicle. When he went there, that guy said, Mr. Allah, Mr. Allah, come here, Mr. Allah. Tawbah, right? He said, Mr. Allah, come here. And he said, What happened? He said, Since I started saying Allah before I go to sleep, in Urdu there's a poem, they say, Kitni waabasta hai taskeen tere naam ke saath. Kitni waabasta hai taskeen tere naam ke saath. Neend kaanto par bhi aa jaate hai aaram ke saath. That how much tranquility is attached to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How peaceful is the name of Allah. That as you utter the name of Allah, you could be lying on a bed of thorns, but even then you can enjoy your beautiful sleep. Right? Because of the name of Allah has that tranquility in a person. The point that we're talking about, the point that I'm making is that when we do ibadah, there has to be more than just the bare minimum obligation. And after praying salah for all these years, and after fasting for all these years, if we don't see change, it's probably because we're still working on the outer shell and we haven't gone into the heart of the ibadah yet. You guys understand that? That's what Allah says in the Quran. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ May destruction be for those who pray. Why would Allah say destruction for those who pray? Those who pray, there should be glad tidings for them, not destruction. But then the next verse clarifies it further. Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ sahun. Those who are forgetful in their prayer. Either they don't pray it all together, or when they're standing there, they're not focusing. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ They're showing off to people. They're not even focused while they're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's an incident where there was a sheikh, he was leading Isha Salah. And while he was leading Isha Salah, after he finished the prayer, some of the brothers that were standing behind him, they said, Sheikh, you only read 3 rakat. The Sheikh said, No, I read 4 rakat. And they had this debate back and forth. They said, No, 3. He said, No, 4. They went back and forth so much. All these big brothers with big beards. It was a big masjid. Everyone was full. All these pious guys were trying to convince the Sheikh that he only read 3 rakat. He said, No, I only read 4. That's another story. You can never convince a mullah. You know, scholars are very hard to convince. Ek baat pe ar jayena, once they believe in something, then the whole world will change, but they're not going to move from their position. So he said, No, I read 4. They said, No, you read 3. So there was one guy who came from the back of the masjid, he came to the front. He said, I don't know why you guys are debating here. I'm telling you, Sheikh, by the Lord of Muhammad, I swear by Allah, you read 3 rakat. So the Sheikh looked at this guy and said, Where'd you come from? No one knows you, and you're coming here taking these big qasams. What's your proof that I read 3 rakat? He said, Sheikh, I have 4 stores on the way to the home every night. I stop in this masjid to pray Isha Salah. Har rakat mein ek dukaan ka hisab leta hun. He said, and every rakat I take accounting for one of my stores. Ek dukaan aaj baki reh gayi. Right? I've been accounting for 3 of my stores, one's left. So you've only read 3 rakat. I promise by the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And the Sheikh then, he read his 4 rakat again. So the point that we're making here is that look at the state of our ibadah. Look at the state of how we're worshipping. Look at the state of our fasting. Look at the state of our salah. Look at the state of our charity. It's become very superficial. And what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is trying to do right now, he's trying to take us inside it. And he's saying that there's a spiritual meaning to this. And at times we sit together and we think about the state of the Muslim ummah. You know, every day there's something or the other happening. Every day is something or the other. Someone in the world, some kind of difficulty is occurring. You know, just when we read the stories of what's occurring in Syria, it makes our hearts you know, بلغت الخلوب الحناجر. It feels like our hearts are stuck in our throat because of how serious the situation is there. And we love talking about this. You know, the Urdu poet, he says, جب بندے نے کہا اے مولا میرا یہ حال دیکھ. When the servant said to the Lord, oh my Lord, look at my state. جب بندے نے کہا اے مولا میرا یہ حال دیکھ. ندا آئی اے بندے اپنا نامہ اعمال دیکھ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded back to him by saying, my dear servant, stop the complaints and why don't you look at your book of deeds first? What have you done to please Allah that you're asking for the pleasure of Allah? Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Many things that we face, many difficulties we face in life are actually because of our own doings. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi here, like I mentioned earlier, he's trying to take us inside the depth of the spirituality of fasting. And he says, staying away from eating, drinking, and sexuality is something that's normal. Anyone does this. Everyone does this. This is nothing. He said, however, there is a greater meaning to fasting. And what does he say? Yes, go ahead.
Verily, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, how many indeed are those who fast yet get nothing out of fasting save hunger and thirst?
So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself mentioned this. He said that there are people who fast and the only thing they gain from their fast is hunger and thirst. As far as the reward goes, as far as spirituality goes, they're void of these things because they spoiled their fast. How did they spoil their fast? We're going to read that. Yes.
A complete fast entails restraining every part of the body from what Allah Most High dislikes.
Fasting is not only of the mouth in the private area. Fasting is of the entire body. Your entire body is fasting. Your hands are fasting. Your eyes are fasting. Your nose, your ears, everything. Your entire body is fasting from haram. You know, fasting, preventing yourself from haram. Yes.
You must protect the eye from looking at things that are disliked, the tongue from uttering what does not concern you, and the ear from listening to what Allah is making.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the point that when you're fasting, control your tongue to the extent that if someone comes and argues with you while you're fasting, someone gets in your face, they want to have a fight with you, get a little rough with you, while you're fasting, what do you say? Inni sa'im, I'm fasting, I can't fight with you today, come back tomorrow. That's not, the other part is my part, right? The hadith says, if someone says to you, they want to fight with you, you say, inni sa'im, I'm fasting, I can't do it today. It's not even, I can't, I just can't argue with you, I'm fasting today. I'm going to spoil my reward. If I engage with you, I'm going to lose my reward. I don't want to do that. Yes.
Protect yourself, protect your ear from listening to what Allah the Magnificent and Majestic has forbidden. For verily the listener is a participant with the speaker, and he counts as one of the two backbiters.
So backbiting is haram, but listening to backbiting is also haram. Because trust me, if there was no one to listen to backbiting, would anyone backbite? Yes or no? If you're going to speak bad about another person, and I tell you, bro, you know what, I'm just not interested. You're not going to talk about it. End of story. But if I sit here and say, oh man, please tell me more. Please tell me more about this person. Let's backbite him more. And I sit here, give you my ear. And I give you, and you know, even through text messages. Not only about hearing. It's not only about hearing. Even through text messages. Sometimes through text messages, through emails, we backbite people. Through Facebook, we backbite people. Through our social media, we backbite people. These are all considered as part of the same category. If people didn't give you likes for your backbiting, you probably wouldn't backbite. If people didn't reply to your, you know, your horrible text with an LOL, you'd probably stop it because you realize you're lame. People don't want to hear it. So if there was no one to listen to your backbiting, you wouldn't backbite. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Both are equally wrong. It's just like the example. If there was no one to give interest, you can't take interest. You guys understand that? That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The one who takes interest is even wrong. The one who gives is also wrong as well. Both are equal in the sin. Because if there was no one to give, there's no one to take, the sin is gone altogether. Yes?
You must restrain all of the limbs, just as you restrain the stomach and the private parts. For our narration tells us, five things break the fast.
Break the fast doesn't mean you have to repeat the fast. Breaks the fast, in this particular narration, it refers to, it breaks the reward of the fast. Meaning these five things, they suck out the reward of your fast. And what are these five things? Yes?
Lying, backbiting, tail-bearing, the false oath, and looking with lust. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily, fasting is a shield. So if one of you is fasting, he should not engage in obscene talk, nor behave foolishly. Then if a person is hostile towards him, or insults him, he should say, I am fasting. Moreover, you should make every effort to break your fast with lawful food.
Now Imam Ghazali comes to the iftar part. He says, when it comes time for you to break your fast, be sure the food you're eating is halal. Because how sad would it be that you made the full sacrifice of fasting 15 hours, but at the end of it you break your fast with a haram morsel. There goes the reward out there again. So make sure The food that you eat is halal. Make sure it's wholesome. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba had a very wholesome diet. Generally, what were they eating? Dates and water. Not doubtful at all. Very clean. Right? We have to make sure the food that we eat at home is also wholesome in our iftar. Yes.
Do not eat so much that you end up eating more than you normally eat every night.
So now Imam Ghazali says, second point on iftar. First thing was, make sure you eat halal. So the second thing Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, at iftar time, don't overeat. Because one of the benefits of fasting is that you eat less. And when you eat less, you kill your carnal desires. You gain strength over your nafs. You gain strength over your inner self. And that strength is very important. It's kind of like the person who goes to the gym all day, but at the end of it, when he comes out of the gym, he just can't stop drinking milkshake. He can't stop eating chocolate. This person's on cardio machine all day, but when he comes out of there, he's just eating junk and eating popcorn, eating caramel popcorn, eating all this junk. So now, yes, you went to the gym for 2 hours, but when you came out, look at all the harm you did to your body now. So it equals out again if it doesn't harm you more. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, when you come to your fast, when the fast comes to an end, don't eat more than you would eat on an average.
There is no difference if you end up eating the same amount, whether you do that in one meal or two. The purpose of fasting is to break your desire and weaken your appetite, so you can have the strength to increase your taqwa. If you eat in the evening as much as you missed eating during the late afternoon, then there is no benefit in your fasting, and you have placed a burden on your stomach. There is no container that Allah Most High dislikes.
Placed a burden on your stomach, what does that mean? You made it starve during the day, poor guy, and then you stuff it at night. Double punishment. Okay? You made it starve during the day, and then at night time, you stuffed it. So poor stomach, Imam Ghazali is saying, uska khayal rakhlo. At least worry about your stomach. You starved it during the day, and then you stuffed it during the night. It has to go to double the pain now. Yes?
There is no container that Allah Most High dislikes more than a stomach filled with the lawful.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this in hadith, that the worst vessel you can fill is that of the stomach. And note Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, even if you fill it with halal, it's still not a good idea. You should try to keep that vessel empty. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to the Sahaba, لا نأكل حتى نجوع فإذا أكلنا فلا نشبع. We don't eat until we're hungry, and then when we do eat, we don't stuff ourselves. So there's a moderation there, okay? Don't eat until we're hungry. First you have to feel the pain a little bit, and then you go take a bite. And when you do take a bite, don't stuff yourself, don't overeat. It's all about eating in the right proportion. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says here that don't eat more than necessary. Now, in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, actually the same hadith, you know the hadith that mentions the worst vessel you can fill in your body is the stomach. In that same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you have to fill the vessel, if you have to eat and give yourself a lot of food, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives us a very beautiful way to eat in the right proportions. He mentions 1/3 for food, 1/3 for water, and 1/3 for air. Divide your stomach into 3 portions. Okay? So note to yourself, at what point am I eating 1/3, 1/3, 1/3? And then after that, you can eat according to that. Yes?
Now that you understand the meaning of fasting, fast as much as you can, for it is the foundation of acts of worship and the key to that by which one draws near to Allah.
Fasting is a very powerful tool to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's the foundation of taqwa. The Prophet spoke to the young man one day. The young people, he said to them, get married, young men. And if you can't get married, then fast. Because that'll help you gain grounding. That'll help you establish that taqwa. That'll help you control yourself. It's such a powerful thing to make sure that we're always fasting. It builds great taqwa. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says in this hadith, there's one or two hadith, 3 hadith coming ahead that tell us the virtue of fasting. Yes.
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah Most Blessed and Exalted says, every good deed is rewarded from 10 times to 700 times, except for fasting.
Every good deed is rewarded 10 times to 700 times. We know the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went on the night of ascension into the heavens, Allah azza wa jal gave him prayer. You guys remember that story? Right? How many prayers was he given initially? 50. And then he ended up leaving there with how many? 5. And then Allah azza wa jal said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that tell your ummah to pray 5 and they will get the reward of 50. هُنَّ خَمْسٌ وَهِنَّ خَمْسُونَ. That tell them to pray 5, but they'll get the reward of 50, because each deed is at minimum multiplied by 10. But it can go from 10, that's not where it ends, it can go all the way to 700. However, when it comes to fasting, yes, go ahead.
Except for fasting, for indeed it is for me, and I will reward it.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says, however, fasting isn't out of the stadium, it's out of this world. You didn't just hit out of, you hit it out of the world. There's no number that we can put to it. For other things, we can say 700. That's a number, okay? But for fasting, it's beyond that. It's beyond you. That's for me, and I will reward for it. Yes?
The Messenger of Allah sallam, also said, "By him in whose hand is my soul, the smell of the breath of a fasting person is more pleasant to Allah than the scent of musk."
The scent of the person who's fasting, usually the person who fasts, his scent, the scent that comes out of his mouth is foul. And the bad scent that comes out of his mouth isn't because of the plaque in his mouth, it's not because of the gunk and dirt in his mouth, it's because of the hunger in his stomach. That's what exits out of the mouth. This is not a justification that you shouldn't brush your teeth the days you're fasting. You're still supposed to clean your teeth, you're still supposed to do your miswak to keep your mouth clean, but this is the bad smell that comes from the stomach. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this bad smell that comes from the stomach because of a person's hunger for the sake of Allah is more beloved to Allah than misk. Now this is interesting because you and I would think musk smells better. Yes or no? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not about the apparent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about the hidden. The musk, it doesn't represent anything. That bad smell that's coming out of the mouth, it represents sacrifice. And that sacrifice is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You guys understand that? Like, you know, the tear that comes out of the eye, does it taste good or bad? It doesn't taste too good, right? You wouldn't add it to your ice cream, would you? I mean, it doesn't taste too good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that tear is most beloved to Allah. The blood that comes out of the body, does it taste good or bad? Hopefully it tastes bad to you guys, right? I know there's this whole new craze about vampires where kids are acting like they like blood. It's all a craze, guys. We're not supposed to like blood. It's najis. It's impure. Don't drink it. Don't eat it, right? But blood is something bad. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, blood that comes out of the body because of a sacrifice you made for the sake of Allah is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not about the tear of the blood. The tear of the blood is just liquid. What Allah loves so much is a sacrifice that went into that tear coming out of your eyes. And Allah loves the sacrifice that your body went through for that blood to come out of the body. Yes?
Allah most blessed and exalted says, "Truly he has given up his desire, his food, and his drink only for my sake. Fasting is for me, and I will give reward for it." Still further, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Paradise has a door called Rayyan, through which none enter except those who fast. And once they have entered, it is closed."
This hadith is narrated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. There's a special door in Jannah called Rayyan. Rayyan means to be proper nourished. To be proper nourished is what we call Rayyan. And the Prophet ﷺ says, on that day, only those people will be allowed to enter through that door who fasted abundantly in the month of Ramadan. Special door just for those who fast. They will be allowed to go. And when all the people who have fasted, those who fasted abundantly, once they walk through that door, then the door will be locked and it will never be opened again. That will be a special honor for those who fast. So let's all make intention that we will fast abundantly. Say inshallah that Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us all to enter into the door into Jannah through the door of Rayyan. Qulu Ameen. Now with that, we end the chapter of fasting. And with the chapter of fasting, as we know, the first third of this book also is completed. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he had some closing remarks. And then after these closing remarks, the first third of the book of Beginning of Guidance also comes to an end. Go ahead.
"This much explanation of the outward aspects of obedience should suffice you with regard to the beginning of guidance. If you need to know about almsgivings or the pilgrimage, or more about the prayer and fasting, then seek it in what we have set out in the revival of the religious sciences. Allah willing, you will find it there."
So Imam Ghazali says, zakat and hajj, we didn't discuss it here because not everyone is, you know, it's not mandatory upon every person, it's something to do with finances. So we've saved that for the original book, Ihya Ulumuddin. It's there, you can go to there for reference. And likewise, if you want more commentary on fasting and on salah, you can go there for that as well. Now note that with this, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has walked us through a 24-hour day. He's walked us through the ibadah, the acts of worship, the du'as we should make on a 24-hour day. And this is something that's very practical, it's very easy. Most of the things that we read, we probably already know them. But we're not talking about knowing them. This book is not about I know it. This book is about I do it. You understand? It's a different thing. It's a different world. We're not talking about words anymore. Now we're talking about action. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi wants us to bring these words into action now. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to learn and then bring it into our action. However, if there is more that you wish to study, again, There are so many other books out there that you can learn about. And again, notice that Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, through this beginning of guidance, was giving a lot of attention to the spiritual aspect of things. Okay? Not the legal aspect. The legal issues were mentioned, but that wasn't the core, that wasn't the purpose. The purpose of this book is to highlight the spiritual dimensions of ibadah. If you wish to learn the legal aspect of the ibadah, then there are many books written on this. There are many ways to go out there and learn it. There are many manuals of fiqh that you can study and that are easily accessible. And there are many classes across the country and even locally that you can attend to benefit. So with that said, Imam Ghazali, alayhi, here, he finishes off the first third of the book. Inshallah al-Aziz, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to benefit from what has been said, and that Allah allows us to implement what we have learned. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.